Breaker, breaker. I have a congressman on the line with us here this morning. In fact, I have our congressman, Congressman Jeff Duncan. How you doing this morning, Jeff?
Anna, I am doing great. It is great being on with you this morning.
Well, we're looking forward to your big event coming up on Monday. I tell you what, how did you score Vice President Pence?
Well, you know, Mike and I served together when he was in Congress, and we've been friends, and he knows coming to the 3rd District is a great platform for them to talk about the USMCA and for him to talk to conservatives and to really get the president's message out.
I tell you what, Jeff, each year you do this, it just gets huger and huger. How many years is this one?
Yeah, I don't know that we'll be able to top this one without getting the president himself. But it's going to be a great event. I'm excited about it. 9 years in a row we've done this.
Yeah. So what have you, you've been home for almost a month now. What are you hearing out there in the district?
You know, people are proud of this president and the economy, the jobs that are out there. I talk to employers that are looking for employees, and you know, it's so important for the young folks coming in to get the skills that are necessary for the jobs that are available. A lot of concern about the tariffs, but most folks that I've talked with understand the long game and pushing back finally against a very unfair trade environment that the United States has had. So, you know, those sort of things are what we're hearing, and we're starting to hear talk about presidential politics. So it's good that Mike Pence is coming.
Absolutely. But there's media talk out there anyways about this inversion stuff and a potential recession coming this way. And President Trump certainly has reacted with throwing out first something about payroll taxes being reduced, and then he took that back. And what is going on, Jeff, from what you know?
Well, you know, the forecasters look at inversion curves and they have been predictors of the past, but there's a lot of different dynamics going on. Interest rates have been kept down so low for so long. We have a robust economy with so many people working, less dependence on government. You know, the tariffs are actually supporting American businesses in so many ways, especially in the sectors of steel and major manufacturing products. So I think the forecast may have it wrong this time. I don't see any hints of a recession out there. In fact, I see an economy that's just, you know, on fire.
How about for our farmers, though, Jeff? How are these tariffs?
They are starting to affect the farmers, and the federal government has stepped up with some relief. Now, one thing we're working on is the differences on how counties in South Carolina are compensated. Farmers in Chester County are compensated differently than farmers in Lawrence and Newberry County. So we're obviously working with USDA on that. And but at the end of the day, China has to feed itself, and American agricultural products are one way that they can. And they're going to come back on pressure point for the president to use.
Yeah, and then there's always that talk of would they go somewhere else, though, and then never come back.
Where are they going to go? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, where are they going to go? There's nowhere else that produces the amount of food and grain and staples that we produce here in this country. And so they can try to go to Argentina. They can try to go to Brazil. They can try to go to Russia. But it's been proven that our agriculture is tops in the world. And if they want to, you know, provide food for their, you know, 5 billion people over there, they're going to have to come to the United States.
Well, I guess that is the question, if they want to provide food, right, Jeff? I mean, they've been known as not being particularly friendly to their people.
Yeah, look what's going on in Hong Kong with a really battle for democracy there and a pushback against Beijing's policies of extradition. So there's a lot going on a lot of fronts around the world politically. The G7 summit's coming up this weekend, and I'm sure a lot of these tariff things will be talked about with the countries with the largest GDP. So we'll see. One thing about it, though, China and India are not invited to G7. So that's going to be interesting how all that plays out.
Yeah, you're right. Now, of course, you know, we've had all this, when we continue to have gun violence in our country. I mean, these mass shootings, and One of the things that's being talked about is, of course, these red flags. And I know you are a big proponent of Second Amendment. When you go back, I mean, there was actually talk of y'all going back early, but I guess that didn't come through. When you go back, what is the position that you're taking on red flags, and what position are you taking as far as these larger magazines and these guns that are shooting multi-bullets here?
Well, the guns aren't shooting anybody. The people behind the guns are the ones that are shooting folks.
Right.
And if, you know, you can take a 10-round magazine and shoot just as many times as they do with a 30-round magazine with just a slight amount of training. Look, we need to quit focusing on the components and focusing on the hearts of man. We need to focus on what's driving these folks. Is it the violent video games or the violence in the movies? I mean, when I was in school, in high school, and this was the early 80s, we had guys that showed up with guns in their pickup trucks, and the coaches and the principal would come out, and they would talk hunting, and they'd go hunting after school together. Nobody picked up a gun and took it from the parking lot in the school and shot up the place. You know, something has changed in my lifetime. And you used to be able to buy firearms through a Sears catalog, and they would just be mailed to your home. Now we have a de facto gun registration where you have to go through an FFL dealer. They have a record of that firearm, and that's just more of what we're going to see out of the Democrats, is continued push toward gun control, to some sort of registration so that the government knows who has the firearms, and one day a tyrannical government would come and get those firearms using those registers. We've seen it in the past in countries where tyranny has taken place, and we need to keep in mind that the Second Amendment was not written by our founding fathers when they came back from a hunting trip. Second Amendment doesn't really apply to hunting. Second Amendment applies to liberty. It is there to protect us as individual freedom-loving Americans against tyranny, a tyrannical government that is restricting our other rights, such as the freedom of the press or freedom of speech, freedom of practice or religion. Fourth Amendment rights are being violated with the red flag laws that are being proposed. You ought to have the right to due process. There ought to be a warrant issued before someone comes in your home and takes any sort of thing they dub as contraband. That's what happened with general warrants during the colonial times, and we're seeing a reversion back to that. We need to be very cautious about it, man.
There's a big conversation, though, Jeff, about those that shouldn't be in the hands of those with mental issues, or this tyranny, things that are happening with our young people about violence and taking down and Al-Qaeda and all these different organizations, the dark web. I kind of think that it's possibly a big part is the web. What do you think, Jeff? I mean, where do we go? Here's the question. Where do we go when it comes to taking guns from people that they think shouldn't have them? Those with mental issues, those that are dealing with.
Wait a minute. When who says they shouldn't have them? The government?
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, you have someone that just denounces someone or accuses them of being mentally ill without any sort of adjudication of that, and so we just have to be very cautious. I'm all for one that says somebody that's mentally ill or has a felony or other things should not have access to firearms, but even more restrictive gun laws, like we see in the state of Illinois, have not stem their gun violence. Criminals are getting access to firearms on the street, and so we just need to be very cautious when we trample on constitutional liberties in our defense of trying to be more safe. There are some things that we can do with modernizing our background check system so that the information can get into the NICS system a lot easier, so that when the FFL dealer is pulling that firearm license or firearm application, that the most readily available information has been provided, and they can determine whether that person should be able to purchase a firearm or not. But even the Las Vegas shooter, Ann, had a pilot's license, so he could have qualified for a Class 3 license through the ATF and had a machine gun, fully automatic, or had a suppressor or any other thing under the Class 3 licensing. So even the best laws aren't going to stymie someone that has evil in their heart and want to do evil things. One other thing we can do along those same lines, also with modernizing our background check system, is continue looking at the privacy laws that are out there. You know, school counselors and mental health professionals and doctors and even school officials can't because of privacy laws, notify law enforcement officials if they suspect something. And I think that's something we ought to delve into as well as our privacy laws.
I think we need to do something about mental health in this country. We have a huge population that is so underserved with having issues, mental health issues. We seem to treat mental health just by popping pills, and that seems to be the answer today. Not real results.
There's no doubt about that, and it goes back to a court case that kept involuntary detention or taken to a mental health hospital makes it harder for law enforcement and health officials to do that. So I agree with you. We need to look at the mental health issues and how we can get more of the mentally ill off the street and the treatment versus just popping a pill. But, you know, we have too many single-parent households. We have moms and dads that are single parents that are struggling to be the parent that they need to be. And a lot of times that those overactive children that are a little bit hyper are given a pill. And, you know, how much of the pharmaceuticals they take during their adolescent years affect them in later life and committing some of these. I think that's something we'll look at as well, is how much we're drugging our kids over the course of their adolescent years.
Absolutely. That is, you know, if we had more recesses, we could run off some of this energy that these kids have. They're required to just sit too much. So switching gears now, what about on immigration? We keep hearing all the stuff that is happening with immigration. You know, one of the things that I think is a travesty in our country is that our kids probably could not pass the citizenship test that new citizens have to pass in today's. We don't teach it in our schools anymore. Civics.
Yeah, we need to go back teaching the founding principles of this country and everything that a naturalized citizen has to pass to become a citizen of this country. We should teach in our schools so that our kids know that same information. But when it comes to immigration, I'm all for legal immigration. I'm actually one that would expand the guest worker program and provide, you know, more on guest worker visas for the jobs that are out there that they can't find employees to fill, especially skilled employees. But until you secure the border and you stop the hemorrhaging of illegal flow into this country, and we're not just talking about Hispanics, we're seeing Africans, we're seeing folks from Asia, we're seeing folks from Afghanistan and Pakistan and India and China and other places coming across our southern border, just like the Hispanics are, they're being apprehended. Those are just the ones we know about. I worry about the people that have come into our country that we don't know about, that got across the border and now reside in the hinterlands, and we don't know about them, and they may have more nefarious goals in mind. So we've got to secure our country and the southern border security, more of a wall, fencing, barriers, whatever it takes to secure our southern border is the first step of any sort of effort on immigration, and then we got to start enforcing our laws, and that's one thing I applaud the president for doing, is trying to enforce the laws that are on the books, duly passed by Congress, not an executive order by a president, but laws passed by Congress that are immigration laws, and we need to enforce them because, you know, without enforcing, then they're impotent.
And yet we have those that want to do away with ICE. We have, it's got to be an interesting dynamic working in Congress right now. How do you get something like that passed with Congress being Democratic and the Republicans being in a smaller percentage here, Jeff? How do you make that happen?
Well, we just have to keep bad things from happening, things like doing away with ICE, you know, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And they enforce the customs laws as well as the immigration laws. And so any contraband coming into this country through our ports or any other way goes through Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. So this is more than illegal immigration and folks coming across our southern border when you talk about ICE. They're enforcing the immigration laws as well as the customs laws. So we just have to stop the abolishment of that. Got to make sure that these agencies have the right level of funding necessary to do their job that we charge them with doing. And I think right now it's more about stopping bad policy while we continue to try to work together on other things like national defense, border security. I'm on energy and commerce. We do a lot of energy work, a lot of you know, environmental work, Yucca Mountain, things like that, that are just common sense. Find ways we can work together. And there's consensus on things like Yucca Mountain on both sides of the aisle, at least in the House.
And that's a big issue for South Carolina.
Absolutely. I mean, you got, just in the country, you've got 120 different sites that have non-defense waste, that's commercial waste, radioactive waste sitting on site like we have at Oconee Nuclear Station with Duke Energy. You know, almost 40 years worth of nuclear waste is sitting right on the shores of Lake Kiwi. But yet we as a nation decided we were going to have a long-term repository, so we selected, after a lot of intensive study, selected the best site in the nation. That was Yucca Mountain, Nevada, as a long-term repository. We spent hundreds of millions of dollars building this ingress and egress tunnel to get to a vault to store the nation's commercial waste, and yet one politician stopped it, and that was Harry Reid. And Yucca Mountain still sits there. We have a huge investment, but at the end of the day, we still have commercial waste sitting on sites like Oconee Nuclear Station and 121 sites around the country, and we need to get back on track for a long-term repository.
And what are you working on particularly, Jeff? I mean, I know that what are you particularly working on in Congress? What will you be taking up when you get back up there?
Well, we're working on government funding. Make sure that, you know, by the end of fiscal year, everything's funded. The appropriation bills are passed. We've passed some budgeting and spending bills, but need to make sure that that's taken care of. Unfortunately, we dealt with a debt ceiling. It put it off till 2020. I thought that was wrong. We're $23 trillion in debt, so I'll continue working on that issue. And I'm also the co-chair of the House Energy Action Team, and so we're going to continue working on energy policy, pipeline issues for companies like Duke Energy, renewables and, you know, wind, solar, hydrogen, small modular reactors, new technology on reactors, such as thorium, or we're calling Yucca Mountain, commercial waste, and defense waste, like the plutonium sitting at Savannah River site. Those are just some simple things we're working on. We'll continue to try to be engaged where we can on foreign policy and continue working with this president to help keep this country safe and keep our economy on solid ground and keep the energy out there that we're seeing in the economy just since in the last 2 years. So.
And how important is this next election, Jeff?
You know, you always hear this is the most important election of our lifetime. You know, I want to see the House revert back to Republican control so we can work with the president, work with the Republican Senate to see if we can continue moving good policy forward, like border security and economic issues. So, yeah, that's where my focus is and is going to be, to try to help the team regain the majority in the House.
Jeff, do you think that, you know, because y'all had the House and the Senate and the presidents, do you think if you're given that opportunity again that y'all will approach things a little differently, or what would be the difference since we saw not much happen when y'all did have it?
Well, I think when we took control of the House in 2011, that John Boehner and company were more focused on being seen as being able to govern, especially with Barack Obama in the White House. And some of that tripped us up going into the Trump presidency, where we did have the House, the Senate, and the White House. It created some factions within the House conference. And we weren't able to get Obamacare repealed and return, you know, healthcare back to the private sector and allow market forces to actually drive prices down. You know, they call the president a liar, but I can think of the lies that the Obama administration told about you keeping your doctor, you keeping your health plan, if you like those, and all those are just straw man selling points to try to sell this government takeover of healthcare on the American people, and they were lies. And Joe Wilson's been proven correctly that, you know, immigrants were covered under Obamacare, and that's when he had the outburst. So there were lies told by the Obama administration, but yet Trump's the one that they say lies about everything. It's
but what
terrible
difference?
Political environment we're in right now.
Yes, but what difference will it be if you're given the House back? What difference will it be?
I think it comes down to we've lost a lot of folks that have retired that came from that old guard, and we have a lot of new blood in there that saw the mistakes that were made in the last time we had control and actually want to work with this president versus working against him. Paul Ryan wasn't necessarily the president's best friend when he was speaker, so I think we have different elements within the House now. We have maturity in guys like, you know, me and others that came in 2011 that, you know, kind of let the old guard say this is how we have to do it in Washington, this is how it works. And even though we were saying no, we didn't have the wherewithal or the ability to say no, but we need to do it this way. I think going forward, if we do take the House, we're going to have enough young blood there to say, you know, it's time we step up and work with the president, continue the juice in the economy, we continue funding things, we need to address our debt. So I think things will be differently, and that will be one of the big issues when I look at the next Speaker of the House.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that we've got to do all that's necessary to stop the change in our country. I mean, socialism, you think this is a real threat, Jeff?
Absolutely. You look at all the Democrat candidates out there, they're just offering free, 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 free. You don't have to pay for school. You don't have to pay for health care. You don't have to pay for anything. We're going to give you $1,000 a month, just government stipend. None of that works. That's all socialism. It's never worked anywhere in the country. Yeah, it's just folks out trying to progressive the other one to become more socialist. And I tell you what, I will offer any of them a chance to go to Venezuela for 30 days and stay the whole 30 days. Can't leave early. Got to live under a socialist system, eat the food that the Venezuelans are eating, the regular common person, not the apparatchik, and experience socialism themselves, and then come back and see the benefits we have here in this country that are provided through capitalism. Capitalism has worked. We're the greatest country on the face of the earth, and it's capitalist policies that do that. It's not socialist policies.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, you know what? I know you're going to have a great day on Monday. Can people still come, or are you sold out?
I think we still have some tickets available. You can go to JeffDuncan.com and sign up, and we'll try to accommodate as many until Secret Service says, or the fire marshal tells us we can't have any more. So it's going to be a great day, and I look forward to it. And hopefully you're going to come out and see the Vice President, Jim Jordan. They really have great messages.
I would love to be there. So we'll see if we can't make that happen. Congressman Jeff Duncan, always a pleasure. We got to have you on more often. Thanks so much for calling us this morning.
Absolutely, Ann. Thank you so much. God bless, and we'll talk soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.